From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled True Walking Posture. The text is found in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. His walk may be slow, but it is sure. He that hasteth to be rich shall not be innocent nor sure, but steady perseverance in integrity, if it do not bring riches, will certainly bring peace. In doing that which is just and right, we are like one walking upon a rock, for we have confidence that every step we take is upon solid and safe ground. On the other hand, the utmost success through questionable transactions must always be hollow and treacherous, and the man who has gained it must always be afraid that a day of reckoning will come, and then his gains will condemn him. Let us stick to truth and righteousness. By God's grace, let us imitate our Lord and Master, in whose mouth no deceit was ever found. Let us not be afraid of being poor, nor of being treated with contempt. Never on any account whatever let us do that which is our conscience cannot justify. If we lose inward peace, we lose more than a fortune can buy. If we keep in the Lord's own way, and never sin against our conscience, our way is sure against all comers. Who is he that can harm us if we be followers of that which is good? We may be thought fools by fools if we are firm in our integrity, but in the place where judgment is infallible, we shall be approved.
Thank you.
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding to think about section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Christ's Abounding Grace. The text is verses 15 through 17 of chapter 5. We've already seen that the entire human race has been condemned to death because Adam's sin has been imputed to all of his posterity. In this message, Dr. Cairns is explaining the great contrast that exists between Adam as the federal head of the entire human race and Christ, who is the federal head of those who are united to him by faith. It is important to understand that although Christ's humanity was real, that is, he had a real human nature, yet because of his virgin birth, he did not have a sin nature. Here is the absolute necessity of the virgin birth, because if Christ had a sin nature, he could not be the Savior of anybody. As the sinless Son of God, Christ became the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all who trust in him. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Christ's Abounding Grace.
You see, according to Paul, Adam and Christ were both of them divinely appointed to be the head of a race of people. They were divinely appointed to stand for those people as their head in a covenant before God. In that covenant, each of these acted not only for himself, but acted for his seed. And each of them passed on to his seed the effects of his own personal work. Now, in a nutshell, that is how Adam is a type of Christ. This is the parallel between them. But now in verses 15, 16, and 17, Paul shows that though parallel, the cases of Adam and of Christ, and the way in which the effects of their actions reach their seed, are not precisely similar, or not precisely alike. You'll notice that verse 15 commences with the word but. Now in English, as in most languages, but is a very small word. Well, but is more of a disjunction than a conjunction. And this is a fairly strong word that's used to denote this. That while there is a connection with what goes before, there is now a sudden difference in emphasis as the argument is progressing. So he starts with this but, because now he's dealing not so much with the similarity between Adam and Christ, he's dealing very clearly with major points of contrast. Points that to him are so important and crucial that they stand as essential to what Paul is teaching as the basic parallel itself. His subject here is very simple. And we'll notice the ground in which I base this as we get into verse 15. But the subject is very simple, and yet it's sublime. What Paul is talking about here is grace abounding to sinners through Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the contrasts, and we're going to look at the conclusions that Paul draws tonight. As we start with the contrast, we emphasize that in verse 15, he says, much more than. Verse 17, he repeats those words, much more. In other words, he's saying there's an obvious difference between Adam and Christ. You see, Adam was not only the covenant head of his people. Adam was the natural root of his people. All humanity, physically, was in Adam. Not just covenantally, but physically, all humanity was in the loins of Adam, our first father. He is the natural root, and he is the father, physically, of the entire human race. So that Adam's seed is a natural seed. So the first contrast that Paul is drawing here between Adam and Christ is the contrast between the natural and the spiritual. Because while Adam is the natural root of the race and his seed is a natural seed, the Lord Jesus Christ is purely the spiritual head of his people. Now Hebrews 2 shows us, and this is very important to the whole gospel story, that he shares our human nature. The Lord Jesus didn't just look like a man. He was a man. He didn't have a nature similar to our human nature. He had our human nature, though sinless. by the miraculous working of the Holy Ghost, the virgin birth in the incarnation of God's dear Son. But he shares our humanity. However, he is not the root of our humanity. He is in no way our progenitor. His seed is not a natural seed. His seed is a spiritual seed. So that our being in Adam is a physical thing. You have it by birth. Our being in Christ is not by birth. It's not by genealogy. It's not even by any carnal ordinance. In other words, nothing that is physically done to you can put you into Christ. So much for the rubbish and the heresy of baptismal regeneration. Nothing that is done physically to any person can put him into Jesus Christ. That union with Christ is something entered into spiritually, and therefore it is entered into by faith. Now, this contrast between the natural and the spiritual is fundamental to all the other contrasts that are here set forth in Romans chapter 5. We will take time in due course, not tonight. You'll be glad to hear, but in due course we will take time to show how important this distinction is when we come to settle the meaning of the terms many and all, and especially the term all when we get a little later down in this chapter. However, for the moment, let me give you two good reasons why we emphasize the contrast between the natural and the spiritual. Remember that the whole story of these verses in Romans 5, in fact, the whole story of the remainder of the teaching of the book of Romans, is to take the gospel of justifying grace and show that because of it, what Paul has taught there, God's believing people have a complete and utter and unshakable security. And that because they have security, they should enjoy assurance. Now remember, that's what he's seeking to do in this passage and indeed in the chapters that follow. Now then, see how this contrast plays into the argument. What, if I'm not mistaken, what Paul is arguing is, if natural union with Adam is effective in bringing destruction and condemnation to all who are in him, how much more shall spiritual union with Christ be effective in bringing eternal life to all who are in Christ? This is Paul's great theme right throughout these verses, and any time he's stating a contrast, understand that underneath it, and I think it's very plain in the words that he's using here, underneath it there is the argument, in Adam, as he puts it in 1 Corinthians 15:22, all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive. There's a second reason why this is so important. And that is that when you see the distinction between the natural and the spiritual, it immediately teaches us the force of the next contrast, which we note in verse 15, and that's the contrast between merit and grace. Notice how he speaks of offense, the offense, in verse 15, the very first line. And then immediately he speaks of the free gift. Now, something we've got to understand, and I think very few people understand it. I've read great theologians who don't understand it. They would change their tune if they would just stop and think of this. The imputation of Adam's sin to Adam's posterity was not a whim of God. It was merited. If God charged Adam's sin on Adam's posterity, then that imputation was merited. And I know that because in verse 12, I'm given the reason why God imputed Adam's sin to his posterity. And it's plainly stated, because all sinned. Now, by way of contrast, the imputation of Christ's righteousness was entirely by grace. If you take your Bible and look at verses 15 through 17, you'll notice in no less than seven distinct ways and expressions, and that's quite a lot in the space of three verses, no less than seven distinct ways and expressions, Paul emphasizes grace as distinct from merit. Verse 15, he speaks of the free gift. Many of you have heard of the charismatic movement as the movement that believes in spiritual or miraculous gifts. That's the basic word that's used here. It's the free gift. Then he speaks in verse 15 of the grace of God. Then he speaks of the gift in grace. In verse 16, he speaks again using a different word of gift. And then in the fifth place, verse 16, back to the original free gift. Verse 17, he speaks of the abundance of grace. And then he speaks of the gift of righteousness. What is he doing? He's piling up these great expressions in order to emphasize the distinction between merited imputation and unmerited imputation. You see, he says, verse 12, we sinned in Adam. Now, however able or unable we are to explain that, that is a divine statement of fact. We sinned. All sinned in Adam. In other words, we are said to have sinned Adam's sin. But do you notice, we are never said to have lived Christ's righteousness. Because not only did Adam sin for us, but we sinned in him. The imputation of the guilt of that sin to us was entirely merited. But the imputation of Christ's righteousness is all of grace. It is a free gift. Later Paul takes this up in chapter 6 verse 23. And he says the wages of sin is death. That's what he's teaching here in chapter 5. Death entered because sin entered. Death came as the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now think again how this plays in to his argument. Shall the merit of Christ be any less effective in justifying his people than the sin of Adam was in condemning his people? Shall the just effects of Christ's righteousness prove less effective than the just effects of Adam's sin? It's impossible. The very opposite is bound to be the case. Unmerited imputation is the greatest guarantee of the security and the salvation of the believer in Jesus Christ. The divine wisdom was able to devise.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.